My name is Jeremy Devins, and this is the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. And today I'll be talking all about money and teaching yoga. And how much money do the average yoga teachers make? And how do yoga teachers make money? And how could you potentially make a living as a teacher if it's something you want to do? So I'm going to go through several of the most common questions on Google. And some of the questions that I've heard over the years from many different people, and the things that I've worked through and overcome in my own teaching practice to be able to create a sustainable living. And all I've done is teach yoga and astrology now for the past few years. And I've had times where it's been up and down, and I've had times where I was driving all over town teaching everywhere and anywhere I could for any amount. And that's a normal part of the process of becoming good at any craft, I think. It's part of the learning process, sort of paying your dues. So I'll talk about that whole process. And then I've taught retreats, and I've led online teacher trainings and online courses and mentorships, and taught privates and corporate and special events, workshops, every possible scenario you could think of. And I'll talk about which ones are the best ones to focus on as teachers, depending on where you're at in your path, and which ones maybe not to focus on, and which ones you can really learn from. I've had a lot of failures as a teacher as well, so I've tried a lot of things. And I think that's the biggest thing to take away from this episode today as I go into talking about finances, is basically the people who make a living at this are the ones who just keep going, and they keep trying things, and they persevere, and it's really, really a long-term process. It's not a short-term, quick wins. How can I just like make a quick buck and then now I'm got passive income and I'm done, right? The whole idea of passive income is a bit of a myth. And anybody who says they work just 4 hours a week is either has a lot of assistants helping them that they're managing. So now they're managing these people. So they've got this other job that they're not working 4 hours a week on, or they're maybe working 4 hours a week on one part of their business, but many, many other hours on other parts. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it is totally doable. And you can definitely make a living just teaching yoga and just doing work that you love. And that was a big hurdle. That was like always my big vision and dream. So I'm going to talk about how I got to that point and the things I learned along the way. This episode is actually going to be also on my new Yoga Teacher Training YouTube channel. So just go on YouTube, search Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training, and you'll see the video for this. I'm going to go through Google search and show you what I'm looking at on my screen and talk about some of these things. And I'll be making more videos here on YouTube in the future. So go check that out and subscribe there and comment on the video. And of course, if you're not subscribed to the podcast already, subscribe and follow along. And keep in touch with me at quietmind.yoga, where you can see all the upcoming yoga teacher trainings there. I just updated the website, quietmind.yoga/YTT. So sharing my screen now for those of you watching the video, what I've got here is just like the most common questions here. So you look in yoga teacher on Google, it's going to give you their suggestions for results. And one of those results that comes up at the very top for recommendations is yoga teacher salary. Now, this is where all of the numbers you'll find online and people talking about what a yoga teacher can make are misleading, because they're based on an hourly rate and a salary concept, which almost no yoga teacher is on a salary. It's very rare. Most yoga teachers are paid as independent contractors, just like you would hire an electrician or somebody to come in to do one job and then they go. And that's a little confusing for teachers, though, because we often end up becoming independent contractors to a yoga studio. And it kind of feels like you're an employee and you go to team meetings and you participate in the community there. So a lot of yoga teachers make this mistake of focusing on being an employee and living as if and working as if maybe they're making a salary, but we're not. We're actually making independent contractor pay and we got to pay our own taxes. So this rate that you see here on Google says the average yoga teacher's salary, $31K to $100K per year. The average yoga teacher is going to be on the lower end of that. The average person, because teaching a class is not like any other job. Like you could go and work at an office 40 hours a week and it's doable. But teaching yoga is a big energetic exchange, and there's a lot of thought process that goes into it, a lot of talking, a lot of awareness of mind-muscle connection and embodiment and everything happening in the room or on Zoom. So it's, if you've tried this, if any of you ever tried to teach 40 classes a week, it's a very steep mountain to climb. And the most I've taught at any point, I think, was around 23 to 25 classes a week. And this was something that I did early on. So I talked to one of my mentors and I said, you know, how could I make a good living teaching yoga? And she said, you could teach 20 classes a week and you're in a good spot. And if you're averaging like $20 to $30 or $40 per class, you're already up into like the $20K, $30K, $40K, like sort of average median income for the US of just teaching yoga. So that's teaching 20 times a week. Now that's going to end up being maybe 3 to 5 times a day, maybe 5 to 6 days a week. And that is much less common and less likely if it's going to be all online, because you're probably going to reach a certain audience. Unless you're teaching with multiple studios, your audience is probably not going to want to practice with you 3 or more times a day, multiple days a week. The people that actually follow you are probably going to want to practice with you maybe once, twice, 3 times a week, you know, maybe more regular, maybe less. But this concept of teaching like 20 times a week or so is something you could do if you go to multiple different studios, and was more, I think, possible when all the studios were open, and maybe when we go back to that, that'll be the case. So you could drive around town if you live in a big town. I live in Austin, Texas, where there's a lot of yoga studios. So I was able to do that. In my first couple years of teaching, I just taught for free anywhere I could, subbed everywhere I could, and taught for any amount, anywhere, anytime. 4:30 a.m. classes, 9 p.m. classes the same day. I didn't care. I wanted to teach. I wanted the experience. And that's what I've noticed is the sort of attitude of anybody who makes any sort of success as a yoga teacher. And it doesn't mean that it's better or you have to do that or that's the only way. But there is this sort of attitude of like, I will persevere and I will make this work. And that is one way of like, if you're going to do it on your own, some people have a partner and their partner pays half of their whole income or maybe more. And them teaching yoga is not the financial responsibility for the family or their income or anything like that. So it's not as big of a deal if they make a big income. So if you're in that situation where you have a partner who's kind of paying your way for things and like you're sharing responsibility financially, then it's not as big of a deal how much you make necessarily. But if you are in that state of like you're a new teacher, you want to teach, you're hungry to do it, and you want to make a living doing it, and you just want to be teaching yoga as your career and nothing else, that's a good place to start. Of just teaching anywhere you can, as much as you can, as often as you can, for any amount, as you get experience. Now, once you have experience, that is valuable. That is worth somebody paying you more. And in the realm of yoga, there's really no substitute for experience. So somebody who's just fresh out of yoga teacher training is just not going to be as skillful as somebody who's been doing this for 10 years full time. It's just the nature of the work. It's the nature of any sort of craft. And a person fresh out of teacher training can teach a good class. They'll be fine if they're well trained, but they're not going to have the same amount of value and depth of knowledge as somebody who's been doing it for a long time. And that's something I've really learned in my own process of just realizing 5 years into teaching, like, oh, wow, there's so much I thought I knew I had no idea about. 7 years in, wow, now I really know I didn't know anything. 10 years in, it's like, okay, now I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing. You know, it's like I get it in a new way. And like, there's so much more beyond just what we first perceive in something. And that comes with time and experience. And the best way to get that experience is, again, in those first year or two, just teach anywhere, anytime, any as much as you can, and have a side job. So the income is not the big priority. Experience is the priority number one in that first year or two. Now, once you get into the third, fourth, and fifth year, now you want to start raising your standards a bit of what you're being paid, because you've invested time in your training. You've probably done an RYT 200-hour training. Maybe at this point, you've done a 300-hour training and workshops. And this is another commonality of people I've seen be successful and what I found and did in my own practice and modeled. And I've basically been in trainings ever since my first YTT in 2011 was when we started it. So since then, I've been in trainings nonstop. Basically, so from there to workshops, to mentorships, to advanced trainings, and then business trainings and marketing. So I encourage you to always be a student, always be learning, because that's adding to your experience and the value that you can provide. And that's adding to what you can teach and how you can help others. So that will keep adding up. And then in that third or fourth year, maybe you do explore this idea of teaching 20 times a week. That's what I did. And I subbed anywhere and everywhere I could, which is not going to be possible in a smaller town. So you're going to have to create more of your opportunities, which is really good. That is ultimately where you want to end up, where you're creating your own opportunities. And that's in like year five plus, where you are creating and promoting workshops. You're renting spaces to promote events. You're leading retreats. And in the retreats, it doesn't have to be something extremely brilliant or innovative. It could really just be like the yoga classes you already teach that people are responding well to and you know are effective. But now you're in a beautiful environment and maybe you've got a couple extra activities and you've created a sort of schedule for everybody to follow. And there's sort of a morning, afternoon, evening activities. But it's really, you don't have to reinvent the wheel to lead a retreat. And that's where you can end up charging more money because you're creating more of an experience. And people expect to invest in that experience like they would go to a spa or any other sort of retreat. So that's a place where you can start adding more income. And in that area of like 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you've learned some things and you've picked up some distinctions in your training and your practice that you can now teach in workshops. And you can lead these one-off events that are maybe $35 per person, $45 a person. And these are the things that I would do early on as well. And maybe teach a workshop about meditation or something that you're practicing, that you've studied, that you've integrated and you're interested in. And as I've said before, if you need notes to teach about it, then you haven't fully integrated it yet. So you want to teach the things that you've integrated and just hold off on the things that you're not fully comfortable and confident with yet. So that's how you could end up in this space of making this amount of money by teaching regular weekly classes is always good, teaching workshops, potentially retreats, private sessions, teaching one-to-one to students, and those are going to cost more because it's more intimate and you're giving more attention and it's specifically honed in on what that student needs. So that could be anywhere from $50 to $75 to $90 to $100, somewhere in that range per private session. And it's a good idea to sell those in packages. So you get a bigger commitment, you can go deeper, and it's a little bit more security in your income that you can expect. So you say, you know, so let's do a series of 5 sessions for the price of 4. So if it's $50 for one session, you go $50, $100, $150, $200, and you charge $200 for 5 sessions. So instead of $250 for 5 sessions. And now you've got a client that's now you're working with, you're building a relationship with, and if they like those sessions, they'll likely want to renew and keep working with you, and you sort of build up this routine. And you don't want to be dependent on any one source of income as you begin to create these different streams of income. So you have this private client that you work with on Tuesdays. You have this class open to the public you teach on Wednesdays. Maybe you teach for the studio on a Thursday. And maybe you lead a retreat once a quarter or every other month, or maybe a workshop rather every other month, a retreat maybe once a quarter or once a year, but workshops maybe every couple months. And these are, again, each of these things are not going to get you to 31K or 100K on their own, but in the big picture, they add up. And it's very important that you are tracking your finances in some way, because $20 for this class, $100 for this client, $50 for this workshop, you know, that adds up. It seems really small in the moment, but if you're tracking it all and you're continually working and teaching maybe 2 to 3 times a day, about 5 days a week, doing something, working with a client, workshops, events, classes, and then online content as well. Maybe you create an online course. It's never been easier to do that than ever before. You can do this on Squarespace for relatively cheap. You could do something more advanced on other websites, but there's lots of platforms now that are tailor-made for teaching online, creating membership sites, if that's something you desire to do. But that's going to be more in those later couple of years once you really feel confident in your teaching and you kind of know what you have to say. It could definitely come sooner if you've been practicing for a long time. That speeds all this up. If you have like 5 years of experience practicing, now you're not just starting from zero, you're starting from really a lot of experience. So that speeds up the whole process. But going through some of these other thoughts on Google, all these things that people search, can you make money as a yoga teacher? Yes, absolutely. The income ranges tremendously from top to bottom of yoga teachers. Yes, that's true. While most teachers earn less than 30K USD per year, that's true. From a lot of teachers I've talked to over the years, and you know, I don't say exactly how much do you make, but I know they're only teaching a couple times a week. They're only maybe do a private session or a corporate session every now and then. You know, a lot of people who are teaching yoga regularly have some sort of shared resources with their partner, and that's not their main source that they're relying on the income. And that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a choice. And like, if that's working for them, then great. Maybe they're focused more on family than wanting to have a career in, as a yoga teacher. But for those of you who want to have a career as a yoga teacher, it says some teachers earn 300K or more. The teachers who earn the most all have one thing in common. They earn most of their income outside of the studio. And that's basically true. I'd say relatively true. I mean, some people own a studio and that's different, but yeah, depending on teaching, drop-in classes is the hardest, steepest hill to climb to make it to this range of above 30K income, or, you know, like the median income in the US. So you want diversity, and 300K is way up in the higher range. That's more people who are like touring internationally, leading teacher trainings internationally, and have big followings, and you see them on Yoga Journal and magazines, and they have a lot of exposure, so they have a really wide audience that they're reaching. Keep in mind that millions of people are doing yoga. 1 in 3 Americans have at least tried yoga. So if it ever feels discouraging, like, oh, there's so many teachers, I can never reach to that range of making that much income, like that's just too high. Think about doctors. Like, what we do, I believe, is on the level of importance as cardiologists, any sort of doctor. Because we're working with the immune system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, mental health, physical health. Everything ties into yoga, especially when you add in Ayurveda. And it's really a very holistic mind-body practice that, if I wasn't doing yoga, I would certainly have had some major injuries at this point in my life, or needed a lot more help from traditional Western medicine that I've been able to prevent with preventative practices and even pranayama and things to help with my mental health. I had depression when I started yoga, and I was in a really low place mentally, and it helped me get out of that funk and really find greater meaning and purpose in my life. And that's just priceless. And at this point, I've invested tens of thousands of dollars into my own trainings and my own personal growth. And for a student to be able to invest back in you, when you've invested that much in yourself and you know how much value yoga can provide, that's important to keep those things in mind when we're talking about money, right? I remember when I was starting out, it was more common that there was this sort of discomfort of talking about money with yoga, like it was bad or evil or greedy or selfish to say, you know, I'm going to charge for my yoga classes at all, like to even charge. You know, it's this idea that you could go to India and learn yoga from a teacher and they wouldn't charge you anything. And that was my experience when I was in India. I went to this Ayurvedic practitioner and I tried to pay him and he refused. And he helped me with the stomach issue I was having. And it was unlike anything, stuff you would never find in any book, on any website. He taught me these things to help my stomach issues that were completely unique and worked, and it was really powerful. And I was happy to pay him. I mean, the exchange rate from US dollar to rupees is ridiculous. It's like 60 to 1. So like, I was happy to pay him a lot of rupees, and like, it was very valuable, and he said no. So that's maybe more of a Western mindset, and maybe it is more of an Indian mindset and traditional mindset to just give freely, and you can absolutely do that. And there's nothing that's going to stop you. If you have your basics covered and you don't worry about income, you can just teach freely to anyone, anywhere, as much as you want. And if you want to live a householder lifestyle in the Western world and have nice things and enjoy life and provide for yourself and potentially a family, then it's totally totally 100% reasonable to be asked for some sort of exchange of income in exchange for all that you've invested in your practice. And the value that they'll receive is immeasurable. I'm just speaking from the value I've received from my practice, and maybe you can relate. So yes, you can get up into those higher ranges of numbers, and it's the long-term picture. It's the long-term providing value and service, coming from a place of service in everything you do, and focusing on how much can I learn and how much value can I sort of imbue into my own practice and studies, because that's going to naturally radiate out into what I share for others. And then it's going to be a lot easier to say, you know what, this class is worth $25, $35, $100. This training is worth $150, or this retreat's worth $3,000, because you know how much equity you've invested into it, how much time and energy and attention and training and discipline and daily practice and perfecting your diet and your rituals and your dhinacharya, your sadhana, you know, all these things that you've dedicated your life to. Much like a doctor dedicates 8 years of their life and countless hours. I mean, just think of how many hours a doctor is typically working with clients. And, you know, it's different than teaching a class again. I think teaching a yoga class is a sort of energetic level of exchange that's can be pretty heavy at times. But if we focus on this idea of how much can I give and serve, and then the time just flies by. Like if you're doing what you love, it's no big deal to go teach 3-5 times a day and be teaching all day. And I'm working on my business all day, every day, right? There's only a few classes I actually teach during the week, but the rest of the time I'm working on my website, talking with people, working with my clients and my trainings, and giving astrology readings, studying astrology, practicing yoga, right? It's all, my whole life is just in, sort of imbued with this yoga practice. And that's naturally going to carry over into what I can offer others. And it is, I believe, on the level of doctors, and the pay, I think, really ought to be on that level if you've dedicated that level of investment in yourself. And not every teacher has, and not every teacher wants to or will. But if you have, then your time and your attention and energy and what you provide to people is valuable. And it is worth charging these higher numbers for retreats, workshops, one-to-ones, privates, classes, whatever you feel inspired to create, online courses. So how much does a yoga teacher make in the U.S.? Average salary, it says, is $51,000. Again, it says salary. That's misleading, right? It's very few people are actually on a salary. It's very rare. You're independent contractors and you got to pay your own taxes. And this is saying average, and they're probably skewing high for California and New York, where a lot of teachers are, probably the most teachers outside of like some other big cities. And their income is going to be higher in proportion to the cost of living there. So I think the average newer teacher can expect somewhere in the really lower range, just to set your expectations realistically when you're first starting. But you can get in that 50,000 range within the third or fourth year for sure, especially if you're getting, you have the experience, you can get there sooner. But it's really a service first approach to everything. Think of like the Bhagavad Gita. You know, like it's better to struggle and fail in your own purpose than to succeed in someone else's. So if it feels like it's really in alignment for you to teach yoga, you're going to do it. And you're going to have failures. You're going to lead a new class and nobody comes. You're going to create a new workshop and nobody signs up. One person signs up. And now you thought this was going to be this big, amazing experience with 10 people. Now it's one person and you've got to invest this time and energy and attention, but give everything you have to that one person because you are in your dharma. You are living in your purpose and you get to help this person, which is a divine blessing. And that one person might never talk to you again. They might come to everything you do after that. They might tell their friends. It might be nothing. But because that is where you ended up and that is who is there, that is your dharma to serve that person with everything you have. And you'll learn from it and you'll get better and you'll realize, okay, maybe I can improve my marketing here or my messaging. Who am I really talking to when I'm promoting my events? Who is this for? And then you get clearer on your messaging and marketing and branding and how you want to promote yourself. And it really comes down to just ultimately helping a younger version of yourself, being authentic with your own practice of where you're at and knowing that this stuff is life-changing and people need this and people are looking for positive, healthy ways to improve their lives. That's why one in three people have practiced yoga, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. So for you to be able to just have a small portion of that and make a living is not too much to ask, and you deserve that, and you're worthy of that because you've invested in your practice and you're focused on serving others. And it's not an entitlement thing, it's a service thing. And as you focus on service, those fruits of the labor may come or they may not, but you focus on the service part. Is it worth becoming a yoga instructor? Yes, absolutely. Even if you never want to teach, it's the most powerful, empowering, life-changing thing I've ever done. Can't recommend it enough if you haven't done one. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Is yoga a good career? Yes, if you are willing to put in the work. It's a lifelong path. It's not like a just get in, make some money, and leave kind of thing. If that's what you want, get into coding or IT or tech. It pays way better, way faster. But if it's just about money, those jobs are a better route. If it's about service and something you love, the money will eventually follow if you so desire. But it's start with that place of love and service and dedication. How much is a teacher's salary? Again, misleading. Why is yoga teacher training so expensive? Another, it's just kind of a different topic here. But again, $3,000 is ridiculously underpriced for the value that you get. If I was still paying for my first yoga teacher training, it would be worth it. If I was still paying like $150 a month from that first training 10 years ago, I would be like, okay, I'm getting my money's worth. Absolutely. How long is a 200-hour yoga teacher training? That's another topic. I can tell you it's 200 hours. That's how long it is. So let's see, yoga teacher income shows here again the average salary and monthly pay. Monthly pay, $4,000 in Texas. So that's somebody who's been doing this for a while. It's not going to be a beginner teacher. And can you make a living as a teacher? Yes, absolutely. Just set your expectations properly. And how much do you get paid to teach a yoga class? Now, this is good. Yoga teachers don't necessarily get paid a lot. In fact, their income varies greatly. According to pay scale, yoga instructors earn an average of $24.96 per hour. Very specific. Lower pay rates to yoga teachers are around $12.66 per hour, while higher rates go up to $49.94. So what I tell my trainees is $15 is a baseline. So either you're going to teach for free for a while for service and experience and just learning and really kind of getting a feel. Is this something I want to do? And I think that is a very wise thing to do karmically, because you're not experienced yet and you're going to make mistakes, and the person is entrusting you with their body, mind, and spirit. So I definitely encourage you to teach for free for a while. Like in my teacher training, I have people teach free classes all throughout the training for friends and family, and let them know that, you know, I'm learning. Listen to your body first. They get insured before the teachers get insured before they teach, and they're protected in that liability. But the students know that like this teacher is learning. So if you're in that phase of like, I'm not quite confident yet, I'm not sure why we do this in this pose and why that, why do we say that? That's when you don't want to be charging yet, because you haven't embodied it yet. So what you're really providing is an opportunity for them to move their bodies while you learn. So if you're in that phase of like, you're really getting more out of it than they are, that's a time where it shouldn't be charging yet. But do that for a while, but not for too long. So maybe 15 classes, up to 30 at most. Maybe your first month of training. Trish Evanson, who was in a recent teacher training, did that. She has a yoga brand that she's created called The Homebody, which you can check out. She's doing great stuff already, fresh out of teacher training, and she's already teaching amazing classes. But she taught for free her first month and said, you know, I'm going to just teach free classes, and anybody can come. I will teach free private sessions. Because she wanted to get that experience even outside of the 15 classes she taught in teacher training. Highly recommend it. It's a great thing to do. Then once you feel like, okay, now I'm giving more than I'm receiving, I know what I'm doing, I know why we're doing it, providing value, then you can say, all right, $15 is the base. Like anything less than that is undervaluing the time and energy and attention I've invested into this. And I'm providing something that is well worth $15. You know, people pay that much for a lot less things, a lot less important things than their physical health and mental well-being that they get from a yoga class. So $15 is the base to start. And then you want to slowly increase that over time. So you can expect after maybe your first year, you're up to $25 a class. And you can negotiate this with people you work for and say, like, you know, if your class has steadily grown and you've shown up consistently and you're there every week, if you're teaching for a studio and you're reliable and you don't have to keep subbing your class out, right? You're just a great employee. It's pretty easy to say, you know what, you have dedicated to this studio and these students. I think I'd like to negotiate pay. Is there any possibility of a pay raise here? And to say 25 is what I'm thinking, and maybe they'll go 20, 22. So have that number in mind and, you know, maybe talk down from there. After 1 year of like consistent, dedicated, you're teaching maybe three or more times a week, because now you're getting even more skillful, more confident. Then by the next year or so, to 35 a class, next year to 45, and the next year to 55, right? So that's a realistic sort of stepping scale you could plan for, and it might happen faster or slower for you, but you always want to be improving. And along that way, over those 5 years, you've invested in more trainings. Maybe you've gotten really deep into anatomy and philosophy, and you've been reading the sutra, Yoga Sutra or Bhagavad Gita, and you've integrated that into your teaching. So along the way, you're just getting more and more refined, integrating more and more skills into your teaching that makes you a more valuable asset to your studio. So as you keep doing that, then you are able to negotiate more and say, you know, this is what I've invested, and it's worth it for the students and for the studio for me to stay here and stay committed to the studio. At the same time, you also want to be diversifying your streams of income, and you can be steadily charging more for private sessions. $50 in the first year, $65, second year, $75, right? This kind of range where you're slowly stepping it up year over year and your income steadily increases. And along the way, you might have a side job or another job, and that slowly goes less and less. So you're taking time out from the side job into more and more into the teaching. And as you give more to the teaching, it gives back more to you, and it keeps growing and scaling from there. So yeah, average $25 an hour, that's pretty common. That's from what I've heard and seen. Again, I don't know every teacher's pay, but I've definitely interacted with tons and tons of teachers. Austin, again, is an amazing city for yoga teachers. And before the pandemic, probably one of the best in the world, and so many amazing studios and teachers all around. So I got to interact with lots of people and have lots of peers who I've talked to over the years. And you know, this is pretty much what you could expect, somewhere in that range where you're stepping up from 15 every year to slowly increase and bringing in more of these supplemental sources of income, additional streams of income. And there might be passive streams that you create, like an online course, and that is passive to a degree. Like once you've created it and set it up, yes, you can have a website and people just buy the course and you didn't do anything except create it in the past. So now it's what many call a passive stream of income, but there is still maintenance to it. And you probably want to update it at some point in the future. And you want to interact with those students so they don't just buy this course and all they have is this person on the screen and they never interact with you, right? Especially when you're starting out, you can do a lot of things that don't scale well, like giving lots of one-to-one attention, lots of time to your students, lots of feedback and lots of one-to-one time and attention with your students so that you're there with them. And it's not just, you know, like if you sign up for one of these big yoga membership sites that have tens of thousands of members, you can just come and go and nobody notices. But if it's on your site, you want that person to feel recognized and acknowledged and say, hey, like, thanks for joining the course. Like, I saw you signed up. Let me know if you have any questions. If you want to meet on Zoom for 10 minutes and talk about it, I'd love to meet with you. So you're doing these things that are a lot more personable and a lot more connected while you're at this scale of slowly building your business. And those are things that you just can't do if you end up having 100, 500, 1,000 students. And I did the math with all the yoga teachers in the world and all the yoga students in the world. Right? There's this sort of excuse sometimes, there's too many teachers, I'll never make an income, the market's saturated. That is an excuse. And if it's your dharma, it's your dharma, and it doesn't matter how many other people are doing it. If it's your dharma to be a doctor, it doesn't matter how many other doctors there are. Everybody, the world needs doctors. The world needs yoga teachers. It doesn't matter how many there are. If it's your dharma to do it, the world needs your unique gifts. It doesn't matter how many comedians there are in the world. You like a certain comedian. It doesn't matter how many actors there are. You like certain actors. It doesn't matter how many musicians there are. You like certain artists. Same way with yoga teachers. It doesn't matter how many there are. You're going to like certain teachers, and certain students are going to like you. And if you don't go out and put yourself out there and share your gifts with the world, then they never get to experience that. And they never get the benefits that just like you've received from your teachers. Imagine if your teachers, the ones who are most dear to you, were afraid to do it or had the excuse, there's too many teachers, it's saturated, nobody wants my classes. Maybe they taught a class and nobody came and they just gave up. Right? Just imagine how different your life would be without those teachers if that teacher gave up. And I can tell you, when you hit those points of wanting to give up, that is the point to not give up. And the other side of that is where things get better. It's basically, it's like you're ending a stage of your life, and that's why you hit that wall. And now you've basically got to climb that wall and go to the next stage. And you hit another wall. It's like, why am I doing this? Nobody likes my classes. Nobody came. I should quit. That's a wall. And it's just indication that it's time to either climb the wall, or maybe it really is time to do something else. If that's really what's in alignment for you, and that wall is saying, don't go this way, that happens, right? That's what I experienced as a musician, right? I loved making music, but I kept hitting walls and trying to climb them and realizing, actually, this isn't exactly it, and I need to do something else. And fortunately, I got to experience that early in my 20s and switch to focusing on yoga. But maybe it is yoga for you. That's totally okay. Maybe at some point, whatever age you are, you realize maybe this isn't for me, and that's okay. But if it is, and if it feels like it's your dharma and like it's just a wall, it's just an obstacle, just an opportunity to grow, and you climb through that, things get better on the other side. New opportunities come around. Somebody you helped 5 years ago comes back into your life, and now you're teaching them. And I've been fortunate to work with students now for many years. Now, some of them 7, 8, 9 years from all the way back to my first classes I was teaching. They're still coming to classes and I'm still working with them on Zoom, online. And I'm very fortunate and blessed to have that experience. And it's just all along the way, I've been playing a long game of knowing like this is something I want to do for life. This isn't something I'm just going to try to make a few bucks and then do something else. I want to teach yoga. I love teaching yoga. I love what it's done for my life and my personal health and mental health. And it's been life-changing. So I focus on creating things that I wish existed in the past and helping others. And there's a reciprocity that happens to that over time. And just like in the Bhagavad Gita, you focus on the giving and the service, and the fruits of the labor will come or not, but we can't control that. So we focus on the service and giving from love and care. And money is one of those things that follows. And it's not just automatic. It's not just magical. We've got to claim our worth and say, you know what? I've invested $500, $5,000. It's fair to say I'm going to charge $15 for a class. I've invested this much. It's fair to say I'm going to charge $50 a class. It's not unreasonable to charge $150 for a class. Or if you're teaching a drop-in class where you rent the space, you could say the donation or the pay is $15 per student. You have 10 students, you have $150 for 1 hour of teaching, right? You create a retreat, it's $3,000. You have 10 people come, that's $30,000 for a retreat, right? So it can add up pretty quickly, but how do you get to that point? It's you've invested in yourself. And you've lived this path, and People can sense that. There's really no faking it in yoga. It's either you've authentically lived it and people feel that and it's like, oh, I want to learn what this person has to share and I want to learn from this person. So it's easy to say I want to invest in them because I'm investing in myself. Because you've invested in yourself, right? It's this reciprocity that happens. So can you make a living? Yes. Can you make a good living? Yes. Can you make a salary? Not likely. And are you going to make this average salary? Probably not in the first year or two. After the third year, it's possible. And after beyond that, as long as you keep building and growing and serving, there is a very high limit, really no limit, especially when we get into online courses and membership sites where it scales immensely and you can have people all over the world join and you don't have to interact with every single person every time something happens in your business. That's when you can really scale into these higher six-figure incomes. It's totally doable and totally possible. And it comes from this place of heart and service first. And then as you scale, yes, you have less availability to work one-on-one with people, but you have more that you can put into your trainings, more experience and knowledge and wisdom that you can condense into each training and each offer that you make. And you can still be available for people one-on-one if you want and do these more high-touch things and more things that don't scale as much when you have these wider client bases that you're working with. But it starts from that simple place where we started in this whole talk today all the way up to this higher level, step by step, and it just keeps growing along the way. So if you found this helpful, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or a comment on the new YouTube channel, Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training YouTube. And if you want to work with me, check out the yoga teacher training at quietmind.yoga/YTT. We've got a couple of classes coming up and those classes are small because I want to work a lot one-on-one with people in the teacher trainings because teacher training is an important skill that it's very important that you have a lot of support along the way. And I guide you through that inside of the yoga teacher training there at quietmind.yoga/YTC. Check out the dates there. And as always, thank you for listening and hope you have a great rest of your week. Look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast.